Simon Peter and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." These are some of the truest and the most profound words that are spoken in all of the Gospels, words that Peter says to Jesus, "Everyone is looking for you." Even in the godless society in which we live, people are looking for Christ, often without even knowing it. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the one who leads us to and brings us everlasting happiness. It is only God who can fulfill us, and it is only through Christ that we can attain that eternal life in heaven. We long for a way to eternal happiness. We are made for the truth, and we are meant to have eternal life. And Christ is all three. Everyone is looking for you, Lord. We as Catholics have the tremendous privilege of being, of course, the one true church founded by Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege of being able to encounter the living God in a real, substantial way in the great gift of the Holy Eucharist. Where is Christ, some might ask? Well, we need look no further than the tabernacles of our churches. We need look nowhere else than upon the altar at Holy Mass during the consecration. For there he is, truly, substantially, in the flesh. For he promised that he would be with us even until the end of the age. And that promise is certainly beautifully fulfilled in the gift of the Eucharist. For the last year or so, the bishops of the United States and elsewhere have called for a Eucharistic revival. That is a spiritual movement that is meant to place a deeper focus upon our Lord's real presence in the Holy Eucharist, and to deepen our love and our devotion for Christ in this glorious gift. I believe that the best way for us to have a Eucharistic revival comes through a liturgical revival. That is, deepening our reverence and our love and our respect for Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist, especially in the context of the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But certainly there are other ways as well. And we will continue to implement practices here at Guardian Angel and at St. Ambrose in order to help us to deepen our love and reverence for Christ in the Eucharist. So it is along those lines that I would like to speak today. In particular, using some quotes on the Eucharist from Father Lucas Etlin's book, The Holy Eucharist, Our All. Father Etlin was a Benedictine monk of Conception Abbey in Northwest Missouri, and he wrote this little pamphlet on the Eucharist in the early part of the 1900s. He offers some very profound reflections that I would like to share today in order to cause us to meditate upon this very deep and great gift of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And we know that his presence in the Eucharist is not a symbolic presence, but a real, true, and living presence that he has given to us in his own body and blood. At the beginning of his book, Father Etlin speaks about the fact that our Lord knew that leaving simply just a spiritual presence of himself, or leaving us even us just merely the sacred scriptures, he said that that was not enough in order for us to fulfill our spiritual longing for him, in order for us to be filled. And so in his goodness, he instituted the great miracle of the Holy Eucharist to nourish us, to comfort us, and to be our companion on that journey towards the heavenly life. And not only has he left us a physical presence of himself, but he offers himself to us as spiritual nourishment in the great gift of Holy Communion, a moment that is the most important moment of our hour, our day, of our entire week. Truly, Christ is present in this most blessed sacrament of the altar. And yet, even though he is really present, we often, so often, can come to Mass and we treat our Lord with indifference, with being filled with distractions, with not acting like he is truly divine, that he is truly God, and that the Eucharist is God. How often we neglect this glorious gift of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who wants to bestow many blessings upon us through the gift of the Eucharist, not only through the coming of the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which is the highest prayer and worship that we can participate in, but also in coming to spend time with our Lord in the Eucharist whenever we make visits to him in the church. Father Etlin says, after the sacrifice of the Mass and the reception of Holy Communion, visiting the Blessed Sacrament is one of the richest sources of grace for souls. And there are many Catholics who can indeed attest to this reality, just read about the lives of the saints and what they have said about their visits to the Blessed Sacrament and spending time in prayer in the presence of the Eucharist. This is something I can personally attest to in my own life. Whenever I was a young boy, my dad started taking me to make visits to the Blessed Sacrament, to come to adoration, to come to adore our Lord, to present our intentions, our petitions before Him, and to spend time with Him. And I know that it is because of those visits to the Blessed Sacrament, it is because of those visits to the Blessed Sacrament that I heard more firmly the call from God in my life to become one of His priests. I would not have become a priest if it was not for those visits to the Blessed Sacrament, and certainly a host of other spiritual gifts and benefits that the Lord bestowed upon me. Father Etlin says in his book, "Catholic churches are the most venerable edifices on earth. Palaces of this world are inhabited by earthly kings and princes, but the King of Kings, the Lord of heaven and earth, dwells in a Catholic church." There are some beautiful stories that Father Etlin tells of different quotes of the saints speaking about the great gift of the Holy Eucharist. Here is one of them. Father Etlin says that pilgrims often make long and perilous journeys to visit the Holy House of Loreto, for example, where our Lord Jesus Christ dwelt for a time, or to venerate the sacred places of the Holy Land where He was born, where He suffered, and where He died. But St. John of Avila says that among all sacred places, he knows of none more sacred or worthy of veneration than a church in which the Blessed Sacrament is reserved. It is not a place where Christ once lived and suffered, but where He is truly living and dwelling in the here and now. For this reason, the saints found no greater delight in this world than to be in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Their biographers cite numberless examples. Father Etlin goes on to say, speaking about the early hermits of the church and relating it to our own days and times, he says, "Interesting anecdotes could be mentioned of the hermits who took the Holy Eucharist with them out into the desert. And nowadays, so many Christians who live near a Catholic church do not find a moment's time to pay a visit to their Lord." Let me repeat that. So many Christians who live near a Catholic church today do not find a moment's time to go and pay a visit to their Lord. Father Etlin says, "But they have plenty of leisure for worldly visits, for useless conversations, or for even harmful reading." And how often we pass by a Catholic church when we know it's open, when we know we could stop in and make a visit, and don't, to make a short visit to our Lord and to ask for an increase of grace in our lives. My brothers and sisters, as we approach the Holy Lenten season in just a week and a half, may one of our resolutions for this holy season of deepening our love for the Lord Jesus Christ be that of coming to visit Him in the Blessed Sacrament. First and foremost, when we come to Mass, let us do our best to be present to Him, to be attentive to Him during the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Let us be present to Him, He who makes Himself substantially, truly present to us. Let us seek to deepen our focus upon Him, most especially during the Eucharistic prayer and the consecration at Mass. Whenever the bread and wine is being changed into the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our attention should be right there and nowhere else. Now I understand if we've got a child who's throwing a fit or is fussy or is blowing chunks or something, you know, whatever it is. I understand that sometimes those are distractions that are going to be necessary for us to attend to. But otherwise, our focus should be right there, ladies and gentlemen. Because we are truly present at the foot of the cross every time we come to the celebration of Holy Mass. And our Lord is being made present on the altar for you, for the sake of the salvation of your soul. And so our attentiveness should be to that altar, most especially when the consecration is underway. But also as we prepare to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, and certainly after we've received Him, let us not be filled with the distractions and of worldly things and of worldly thoughts, but rather let our thoughts be filled with the King of Kings, whom we have just enthroned in our hearts through the reception of Holy Communion, certainly presuming that we are properly disposed, free from any mortal sin, to receive our Lord worthily and fruitfully. We as Catholics, my brothers and sisters, must return to showing a greater reverence and respect that Jesus Christ deserves as God, substantially present in the Holy Eucharist. We must make that return. Our churches are not social halls after Mass, but it should be a place of greater reverence where the King is enthroned, and to give him that love and that respect that he so deserves as our God, so that we can truly grow in a deeper union with him. He deserves to be treated as God present in the Holy Eucharist. Otherwise, why bother being Catholic? If we don't believe that he is really present in the Holy Eucharist, why bother being Catholic? I didn't become a priest so I can share crackers and grape juice with you. I became a priest to offer sacrifice. All of us priests became priests to offer sacrifice and to be able to give to you the glorious spiritual nourishment of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. That's first and foremost why I became a priest, why all of us become priests. So we have that opportunity to do that. So brothers and sisters, if Christ isn't present in the Eucharist like he said he was when he said, "This is my body, this is my blood," if he's not present in the Eucharist like he said he was, then he's a liar, and I want no part of this. But brothers and sisters, thanks to the testimony of the church, the testimony of the saints, and above all the teaching of Jesus Christ, I know that he is present. I know that he is. And I ask God, give me and all of us the grace that we need in order to increase our faith, especially during those moments of doubt that we can all experience in the real presence. And if he is indeed truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, brothers and sisters, then we better act like it. Because as we do so, we will evangelize by our actions to those around us, even those who may come to Mass, whose faith is weakened, are experiencing doubts, or those who have no faith in Christ's real presence in the Eucharist at all. It is with that I would like to conclude with a story that comes from Father Etlin's little pamphlet, a story about a convert through a genuflection. Genuflection meaning that moment where we go down on one of our knees to give that reverence to Jesus in the Eucharist, especially whenever we enter and leave church. This is what Father Etlin says. In a small work entitled Genuflection Before the Most Blessed Sacrament, a well-known writer writes, "We are well acquainted with the Most Reverend Marmalade, a saintly archbishop and an eloquent apostle of the church. He told me that while he was still the vicar at Geneva, he converted a Protestant without even knowing it, by merely making the genuflection reverently before the Most Blessed Sacrament. He had the pious custom of paying a last visit to the Most Blessed Sacrament every evening in order to attend to the sanctuary light and to see if the doors were locked and to assure himself that no one was hidden inside the church, for he feared that a sacrilegious robbery might be committed. When he had carefully looked after everything, he knelt on the altar steps for a short time, after which he made a reverent genuflection, kissed the floor as a sign of profound reverence before the Most Holy Sacrament, and then he returned home. One evening, believing himself to be alone in the church, he finished his devotions as usual. Upon rising from his knees, he was startled by a noise. Suddenly, the door of the confessional opened, and a very distinguished lady came forth from it. 'What are you doing here at this hour, my lady?' asked the archbishop. 'I am a Protestant, as you know,' she answered. 'I have been present at the sermons you have given during Lent on the real presence of Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the altar. Your arguments have convinced me of the truth of this doctrine of the Eucharist. Only one doubt remained, and that was, pardon me for saying it, does he himself believe what he says? I wish to see if, when alone or in secret, you would conduct yourself before the Holy Eucharist as one who believes in it. And I had firmly resolved,' she said, 'to be converted if your conduct corresponded with your words. I came, I have seen, and I believe.' This lady became one of the most zealous Catholics in Geneva." Everyone is looking for you, Lord. Everyone is looking for you. My dear brothers and sisters, certainly in addition to seeing our Lord and our neighbor and finding him in the scriptures, we need look no further than finding our Lord at the altar during the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We need look no further than the tabernacles of our Catholic churches. For there the King of Love is enthroned in the flesh, he who desires to be enthroned in your heart. Sweet sacrament, we thee adore. Make us love thee more and more. Oh, make us love thee more and more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.